Praisers at this morning. Thank you. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remembered, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You said, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away.
Afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, afflictions eclipsed by eyes. If His grace is an ocean where I'm sinking, so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh,
are you thankful for His love this morning? Amen. Just thank Him. Let's just praise Him. God, we thank You so much that You love us in such an amazing way. You know, the line that stands out to me this weekend with this song is, I don't have time to maintain those regrets. You know, when I think about how great His love is, I grew up with a regretter, somebody in my family, I won't say who, because they honestly probably don't even know it. Every decision that they make, they will still say, well, I reckon I should have done so and so and so, or I guess I should have done this differently. And because of growing up with that in my head, I do the same thing a lot of times. I say, oh, you know what, I should have done this, or I should have done that. But you know the difference between, one of the differences between Peter and Judas. Judas regretted, he regretted that he did what he did, but they both betrayed Jesus, but Peter repented. He repented. He went to Jesus. He repented. He didn't just stay and live in those regrets. He went to Jesus. He repented of those things. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, then He throws those things. The price has been paid. Are we going to live in the regrets in the past, or are we going to repent, turn away from, and live in the great, amazing love that He has for us? We don't have time for those regrets because He loves us. He paid the price. He bought our redemption for us. If there's something in your past today, it may be small, it may be big, it's something that the devil, see, the devil, he's the master of regret. You know, he wants to put it in our head, oh, those regrets. Would you give those to God today? Walk in repentance, not regret. Can we pray? God, we just thank You so much that You paid the price for our redemption. No sin is too great. God, I pray that You would help us to walk today in Your love and in repentance and not in regret. We don't have time for those things, God. Help us to remember from here on out how great and amazing Your love is for us. In Your name we pray. Can we just give Him another hand of praise? We just thank You, Father God. We thank You, God. You may be seated. We're so glad that You're here with us. If you are a first-time guest, we would love to meet you in the foyer immediately following the service. We have an exciting day today. At this time, if you would bring your offering into the buckets, it's time for the offering.
How's that? She turned me off. Isn't that terrible? Today is Baptism Sunday. Are you excited? Let me tell you something. Baptism has been one of the greatest pleasures I get to participate in. I've carried kids into the river when it was a lot colder than it is now because they were ready to be baptized. Today we're going to bring the river to us and baptize some kids and some adults. What I want to say first of all about baptism is that baptism is extremely necessary for the new believer in that it creates a monument. It creates a memorial. You set up a memory stone. You see, when we get saved, we get a brand new spirit. But our soul is still messed up. And baptism is a reminder for the unregenerated mind. If you're like me, you'll never forget the day you were baptized. Because it was a marker placed in your life that you can never lose or can never be erased from your mind. No matter what kind of trouble you get into or trouble you run into, that marker is always there. And after time, the mind gets better because a reminder reminds it to be better. So today, there'll be markers made in these lives. And we get the joy of participating and witnessing that being put in place in all of these lives. Amen? All right, come on up, guys.
First, we have Janet Cherry.
Just about a year ago, Miss Janet was in a very horrible car crash, and she had some injuries to her back. And due to those not being fully recovered yet, we're going to sprinkle her today. Now, she still is getting baptized. A marker will still be set. She'll never forget this day. But before I baptize her with water, I'm going to pray for her healing. Stretch your hand forth and join with me. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, and the power that goes with that name, the name that is above every other name, I release your healing power upon her body. May it flow right now from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that, Lord, you would restore everything that has been injured in her back. This stuff, things that are out of place and are not functioning the way they're supposed to be would work exactly the way you designed it. We curse this pain. We curse this discomfort. We command it to go and leave her even now, that she would see a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you now, my sister, in praise God.
Jewel asks you, Jewel, do you have anything you would like to say?
No.
Okay. Jewel, now I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Griggs. Kaylee, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Thank you, Jesus, for washing my sins away.
All right. Amen. Kaylee, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Kendall Griggs. Kendall, do you have anything you would like to say?
Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins.
Amen. Kendall, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Melissa Pridgen.
You have something you want to share? It gives me great pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Rodria Stevenson. Roger, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Today I'm wearing my granddaddy's shirt. About a year ago, I lost the only father figure I know. Both of my parents are gone, and I want to rejuvenate my soul to get closer to them with God.
Amen. Amen. All right. Rodria, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Lacey Smith. Lacey, do you have anything you'd like to say? Baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Landon, do you have anything you would like to say? Okay. Landon, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Don't you love seeing families get baptized together? Amen. Noah, do you have anything you would like to say? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Michael Wilson. Michael, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Other than it's cold.
Michael, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Give them all a big round of applause. Can we go from water baptism to fire baptism? Hallelujah. Pastor asked me about sharing, about walking to the upper room, fire baptism. So this morning, I want to take just a few minutes and share with you what took place what we're supposed to do with what we learn from it, and how we go on from this moment. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Endued with power. That is the very first reason that Jesus sent or returned to send the Holy Spirit to us. There was a transition taking place. The old church system was done away with. No more sacrifices. No more atonement for sin. Jesus had made the ultimate sacrifice, given his own life. And as he went to go and sprinkle his blood in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place in heaven, it was received as a complete sacrifice. Nothing else would ever need to be done. Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection was a finished work. He does not need to die anymore for anybody else from this point on. He does not need to be beaten for anybody else's healing. Just like your salvation your washing from the sinful nature of man is complete in Jesus, so is your healing. It's all a finished work. We find a way, we walk in all of these things by faith. The disciples in that upper room were being prepared for the job at hand. And if you'll notice in Scripture, nowhere else after this occasion does it tell any believers to wait. They waited. They communed with him for 40 days and then 10 more days of waiting. The numbers trickled. 120 gathered together waiting for the comforter, for the helper, for the advocate, for the counselor. He's known by all these names, but he is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. He is not divided into parts or pieces. He comes as a whole package. And we were meant to have that package dwelling in us. The baptism of fire we read about first in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, John first told us this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." With this experience that the disciples were about to encounter, they would know that they were prepared. They would know that they were sent. And they would know full well that things had changed on earth and would forever change eternity. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language which we were born?" This is an extraordinary event. Nothing else since the resurrection rivals this event. It is the most magnificent thing that could take place upon earth. The gospel now has been dispensated to all the earth. This small group of believers are there to begin the process of what we still practice today. This was a starting line. This was a place where everybody gets to start from. It was the start for the entire church age. And it will continue until the last soul has been brought into the kingdom. Now, what they witnessed that day was a sound of wind. There was no wind disturbance in that room. There was a sound of wind. It was a mighty rushing sound. I would imagine it like hurricane force winds or a tornado or something like that, that kind of sound. But nobody's clothes were being blown around and no things were being turned over or disturbed in the room. It was just a sound. And it only occurred in that place. Not the whole city. Just in that place. But it was a mighty roaring wind. And I believe once it started, it didn't stop until we get to the end of what we just read. Then what looked like individual flames. Now, if you watch a fire sometime, you'll see that it looks like that flames seem to break off and not even be connected to the source. I have pictures where I've taken of my grandsons and of other kids around campfires. And you can see a flame that is not connected to the fire, and it might be 5 or 6 feet off the ground, just a flame, like it's not connected anywhere. That's what they saw, something that looked like that. It was not fire. It was not flames. It was not hot. But it represented something like the rushing wind. God had moved in to do something extraordinary. And this transformation was taking place, and the release of the gospel to the Gentiles was about to occur. And this fire landed or sat or rested on the heads of all 120 people that were gathered there that day. Each with a flame above. I can only imagine what it looked like to a person who looked around and saw it on everybody else. You want to reach up there and say, "Have I got one?" You know, but everybody had one. Something was taking place. There was a transference. Just like it said that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, this descended like fire. Looked like flames of fire. But it wouldn't burn you if you touched it, because it was doing a spiritual work, not a physical work. John chapter 7, 37 through 39. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." Well, that's the thing that took place next. Rivers of living water. Utterances, tongues, languages began to flow out of the bellies of 120 people. Every one of them full of the Holy Ghost, and now they cannot contain what is inside any longer. They've had an external and outside experience with the sound of the wind and with the picture of the flames, but now something's happening on the inside. Something is changing forever on the inside. Now I want to share just a little bit about my baptism of fire. I was raised in a very traditional country Baptist church. Got married, went to the church that my wife went to, another country traditional Baptist church. I saw mighty moves of God because I believed the word. I was baptized when I was 12 and married at 19. And then a few years, maybe about 10 years later, one Sunday morning, I happened to be sitting next to two widow ladies that I ministered to. Normally, I sat between them, but for some reason that day, I sat next to them. There was one on the end, and then the next one, and then I was there. When the altar call was given for more of Jesus that day, the first lady next to the aisle went forward, and she came back dancing. Miss Louise Lassiter. The next lady, who I was sitting next to, was Miss Edith Dunn. She went forward, came back the same way, both of them weeping. Well, the altar call stayed out. I held on to the pew. I won't move. And something was saying go, and I just like, I'm not moving. Well, all week I struggled with it. Well, at the end of the service, Miss Louise asked, could she speak? And the pastor gave her the microphone, and she said, "Somebody here has quenched the spirit." Well, who was that? All week I struggled with what I'd done. So the next Sunday morning, before the pastor, when he walked forward, before he could even give an altar call, I was there. And he laid hands on me, and he asked God to release power in my life. And I don't know what hit me, but I know that changed. Everything changed. He told me, he said, "You can't even make it back to your seat. You need to sit up here on the front row." And then the call went on. That week I had two other women. One bring me a book written by Catherine Marshall called The Helper that taught about the Holy Spirit. I read it just about every year. Another lady came to me and asked me, had I yet released my gift of praying in tongues and speaking in tongues? And I said, not yet. She said, well, you need to. It's in you. So that Sunday afternoon, I walked down. This was another Sunday, another week. I walked down to the woods and walked back in the woods. You know, I'm not going to make a fool in front of everybody. I mean, I'm just being honest here. And opened my mouth and things came out I've never dreamed would. But many more things have occurred out of that baptism of fire. I can tell you I felt electricity run through my body. And he was right. I couldn't hardly make it back to the first pew. Just as monumental as what took place up here in the water, and even more so, is the baptism of fire. The baptism of repentance was a repentance for your sin. It was people turning from their sin. But it was not a complete work. I had stopped doing some things. Matter of fact, in that length of time when I, before I got filled with the Spirit, I was laying hands on sick people and they were getting healed. I was just praying in the name of Jesus and it was working. I mean, it did. I mean, I saw children that were born with diseases, it taken completely out of their body. Children who today, they were told, their parents were told, that they wouldn't live past 15 years old. And now that young lady has children of her own that are grown. So I saw those kinds of things happening because I believed in the name of Jesus. But there was still something missing. Everybody heard the commotion that was taking place in that upper room. Everybody heard the wind that was swirling from outside. And everybody began to hear a sound of many voices. There was something happening that drew them there. I mean, can you imagine the commotion that was going on in that house? With all that racket. With God making noise and them folks all making noise. And everybody was coming to see what the noise was about. When they got there, devout people, devout men. New King James says Jews. I believe that they were either Jews from other countries or they were proselytes, converts to Judaism, who were practicing Judaism. It said that they were devout men. They were there looking for something. Maybe they came as a pilgrimage to Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. I'm not sure. Maybe there were some there who were studying Hebrew so they could understand the scriptures because they were only written in Hebrew. Maybe they were there studying under good teachers, trying to learn more about God. But every one of those people who were there that had come from other countries were looking for something. They were committed to the Jewish God, Jehovah, our Creator. But they wanted more. and they got it. Not only was the 120 in one accord, there was a group who were in the city who were all searching in one accord as well. They were looking for something else, something different, something more. There had to be more. That's what I realized. There had to be more. There had to be more. Because I was still back and forth from the world to the church. I was still struggling like everybody else does and not knowing which way to go sometime. I know how these men must have felt. I believe that I have identified in my own life five objectives for the baptism of fire. I have experienced these things over time. My first objective, the first objective that the Holy Spirit has is a refining fire. He wants to consume you. His fire is meant to consume you. I'm talking about your natural self is consumed by his fire. Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. It says that in Leviticus 2. He is a consuming fire. He wants all control. The fire is his authority. It's burning. We are consumed in it. He wants us to be a part of the fire. So we are now in the fire so we can be a part of the fire. The second thing is the baptism of fire is a purifying fire. It's a cleansing fire. It removes sin, the penalty of sin, and even the power of sin. It takes it all out. Isaiah said when he was called, I'm a man of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips. And an angel said, I can take care of that. Grabs a pair of tongs, pulls a hot live coal from the altar and touches his lips. You know, Miranda reminded me of something this morning. I hadn't thought about it until today. But one time, I think we went to Bonnie's 20th graduation reunion. Lost my word. And a young man came up. Who would graduate? I graduated a year before she did, and a young man came up and began to talk to us. And he told me, called me by name, and he told me, he said, "You know, I don't hold you responsible for any of those things that we got into when we were in high school." Okay, he said, "I went on my own accord." And all the stuff that came out of that, I know is just as much my responsibility as it is yours. Well, he told me what he was talking about. And then, you know, I said, okay. And he walked away. And I turned to Bonnie and I said, who is that? I said, I have no idea who he is. Now, it sounded like something I would participate in. Maybe even initiate. But I had absolutely no remembrance of it. That's what the purifying, the purging fire will do for you. Take those things. We forget the regrets. Just as Pastor Miranda shared. It's gone. It's removed. I had an opportunity. Somebody was sharing, talking with me recently about some of the things that they are sorry for, the regrets that they did, and how do you get beyond those things. And I said, if you're even thinking about your past, you're wasting good time. Because that's time you can use for the kingdom. Get over it. I know it's not pretty. Mine wasn't pretty. Look, I remember enough that I don't even want to talk about it today. I'm ashamed of it. But I've put it behind me. It does not define who I am today. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. It is enlightening fire. It will open your eyes. You see, I told you I was getting good results just praying in the name of Jesus. But all of a sudden, my eyes were unveiled. All of a sudden, I could see things that I'd never seen before. Now, actually, and that's when dreams came into my life. I had had dreams occasionally, but they didn't seem to ever have any significance. But then all of a sudden, I was getting dreams of great significance. I was hearing things like, is this my imagination? Did I really hear that? I heard it sometime audibly, many times as a still small voice. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. The refiner's fire, the baptism of fire, will prepare you for your tomorrow. You will be ready when it comes. One of the most devastating events in my life, when I had an issue in church. I won't get into the details, but it wasn't fun. It wasn't a good time to be there. But I had a dream that warned me that it was going to take place. And a great division and separation took place. And I never said, what did I do to deserve this? Because God had warned me that it was coming. And I knew that if he would tell me that it's coming, he already had it worked out. That I didn't have to be concerned. I didn't have to question it. Now, it wasn't fun. I shed a lot of tears over it. But he warned me. He let me know. He let me know who was behind it and how it was all taking place. And I actually even said it prophetically. And it all fell out just like he said it would. The fourth reason is to give you an eternal fire. The baptism of fire releases an internal fire. What did Jeremiah say? Your word is like a burning fire in my bones. A fire that just has to come out. There's a fire that wants to say something. There's a fire that wants to do something. There's a fire that wants to bring change. There's a fire that wants to make a difference. And life now has passion and purpose for serving God. It was just a routine for years. It's what I did on Sunday and what I did on Sunday night and what I did on Wednesday night. It was never a passion until the baptism of fire. Then it became a passion for me. And whenever that fire got burning, I can't tell you what it's going to look like when I finish this race, but it's nothing like where I started. I don't know what's next. But everywhere I go, I want to start a fire now. The last objective of the baptism of fire is a fortifying fire. Zechariah 2:5. For I say, says the Lord, I will, in King James it says, I will be a wall of fire around her. We're talking about Zion, the church of true believers. And I will be the glory in her midst. A fire around us. Now that fire is a protective fire, but it's also a tempering fire. You know how steel has to be tempered? Well, we have to be tempered. We are guaranteed, according to Jesus, that we will be persecuted. And the world will hate us. They hated them, they hate us. They hated him. You know, it's just who we are. But we will be tempered, not only to withstand that, to be able to stand up to it. And then all the things that occur, all those things that just seem to come out of the blue, we'll be able to deal with every bit of that. And let me take this time just to thank you for those of you who have inquired about Miss Bonnie because she got hurt this week. For those of you who don't know, she tripped over, she stumbled and fell on her face on concrete. She has a fractured nose, but no skull fracture, nothing in her mouth or in her neck or... All those things are fine, but she does have a fractured nose. And so, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who's had their nose broken, but one of the first things happen is blood pools around the eyes. That's where she's at this morning. They told her to get in bed, stay in bed, just get up to eat and go to the bathroom, don't watch TV, don't talk on the phone, don't play on the computer. Just rest. I made a joke on Friday morning about her looking like a little Chinese girl. It wasn't that funny because her eyes were about shoaling shut. So I repent for the joke. Wasn't conscientious at all for no parties. She is very quiet. I told Pastor, he says, how is she responding? How is she acting? I said, she's just very quiet. I said, the only time I've ever seen her quiet is when she's mad with me. I don't like that time either. So thank you for the prayers. She was very upset with herself. I mean, it's just something that happens. She was upset that I had to spend half a day in the emergency room with her. She was upset for that she can't do what she normally does because she has, look, when I got her, I got to help her. I got to help meet. I really did. And I'm planning to keep her. 44 years in October. So it's something we have to deal with. Situations happen to the good and to the bad. It just happens. Accidents happen. We all make mistakes. Some of them are more costly than others. But still, we live in a fallen world. Nothing is ever going to be perfectly calm all the time. But the baptism of fire prepares you for those occasions. So this morning, I want to... Let's finish up with this scripture. Acts 2, 16 through 21. But this is what was spoken by Joel the prophet. This is Peter's first sermon now. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see visions and your old man dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 3,000 people, over 3,000 people showed up at that event outside, got saved, and got filled with the Holy Ghost all that day. Well, what are we waiting for? The transformation has already begun. Nowhere else in Scripture from that point on does it say we're supposed to be sitting around waiting for God to do anything. It's finished. It's done. We're here. We're ready to go to work. Sadly, about 20 years ago, I had a man participating in an event that I was holding. And one night around a campfire, he asked me, he said, how do you know that you were called to do what you're doing? I said, why do you ask me that? He said, well, I believe there's a calling on my life, but I don't know what it is. And I said, well, I can tell you this, first of all, nobody's knocked on my door and telling me that I'm doing what they're supposed to do. And I didn't just hear an audible voice say, go do this. I got a idea, still small voice, that's the way it works, about what I should do with some kids, and I started. So for over 35 years, I found scallywag boys and would take them camping and teach them about Jesus and get them saved around the campfire. Started changing lives. And he happened to be on one of those trips. I said, nobody's ever told me that I'm not supposed to do this. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands that I've led to the Lord around the campfire, but it didn't matter. I don't keep up with numbers. All I did was what I thought I was supposed to do. Well, I ran into that man about 2 months ago. Hadn't seen him in a long time. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, I had to retire on disability. I said, well, where are you serving Jesus now? And he said, well, we don't go anywhere really regularly. I said, so are you walking in your calling? You don't have work to stand in your way anymore? He said, no, I really am not. He hadn't done anything before, and he didn't do anything after. The question is, how about you? Let's all stand to our feet. If our worship team would come back up and light that fire song back up again. I like that. And our ministry team, if you'd come on up and line up here. All our ministers, come on, line up here, face the people. And I want y'all to just play softly to start with, because I'm going to give some instructions. And we're going to release the fire this morning. Now, if you have never experienced the baptism of fire and have seen the grace of the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues, I want you to come forward and get it today. If you've never experienced that first time experience of baptism of fire, just come on up here, because it will happen today and it will be life changing. Anybody? Okay. Monumental difference. Was made in a little country boy's life. I was a kid from nowhere going nowhere. And God took me to the nations. But it's one step at a time. And that fire changed everything for me. Okay, so I don't have one, I'm going to ask the rest of you. Here we go. Come right on up here. Miss Virginia, I want you to lay your hand on her forehead, and I want you to declare fire right through her body right now. The fire of God released on her life, changed forever, forever, forever made. Now you go ahead and just release that river that is flowing through right out of your belly this morning and let it go.
So praise God. People baptized this morning, and in 1 John it says you have to be baptized by the water and the Spirit. So if you felt when you came up the Spirit wasn't there, maybe, and you've been talked to for the last hour and just going up in there, I want to just encourage you to come down this morning and have one of them pray for you and tell them you want the Holy Spirit. You need Him in your life. Let Him anoint you with the oil. The oil is not our faith. It just represents the Holy Spirit. That's all it does. It's going to make a mark, put it on your head, and just remind you of the Holy Spirit as well.
Sorry, man, I could not understand what all you said. Okay. So I've asked for first-timers to come receive for the first time. And they are. Now, do you want a fresh feeling? The rest of you here. If you do, just raise your hands. Lift your hands. Set aside everything else that you're thinking about and lift your hands to God and say, right where I'm at, I want a fresh filling. I want to be renewed again. I want that fire to burn passionately inside of me, around me. Burn up all the dross. Burn up all the impurities that stand in my way. Make me your light. Put your fire in me that I might burn. That I might be a light on a hill that no one can cover. That I might be able to hear direction, make decisions, follow you more intently, and see your mighty word confirmed in my life. Release your tongue this morning. Let that river flow all across this house. Let's see what it was like in that place. Just turn loose and pray in the Spirit. Release, Lord. Release, Lord. Pour it out. Thank you. Go ahead. Let the river flow.
In my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of
more,
you,
Lord.
God.
More, Lord.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control.
To come to know Jesus today. We've had water baptism. We've had fire baptism. Who needs to accept that call on their life today? Is there one here who has never made a public profession of faith that today you want to surrender your heart to the most powerful God? I invite you to come. Do you want more? He's able to do more than you can ask or think. Now I want to give you a little hint. I just give you my little translation of Ephesians 3:20. Why in the world would the Apostle Paul tell us that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything you can ask or think? Now, I'm a little timid sometimes when it comes to asking God, but I think big. I think real big. And I'm learning not to be timid anymore. There's a realm above. There's a realm of God. There's a realm of provision. There's a realm of protection. There's a realm of wisdom. There's a realm of knowledge that is above anything you would ever be able to ask or think. Well, how do I tap into that realm? It's not praying with your mind. Because you could think it. It's above what you think. It's praying with your spirit. You see, tongues is the only key to getting into that high level realm. You can't ask enough. He's got more than you'll ever ask. He's got more than you can ever dream of. But when we pray in the Spirit, we speak mysteries. Mysteries. That unlocks that's beyond, that's above. Don't make little of tongues. Don't make little of tongues at all. It's powerful. It opens doors. It opens levels of provision. It opens access to spiritual things. And nothing happens in the physical realm till it first happens in the spiritual realm. So tap into that level, that realm. And I'm going to give you this one little hint. If you pray more with your mind than you do with your spirit, you're about two-thirds of the way where you ought to be. You need to multiply your prayer time times three. Your time in the Spirit should be a whole lot more, three times more than your time in the natural, in your mind. Let's open some doors. Father, right now in this house, I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you, Lord, for the intensity that I felt from the moment we began this morning. I thank you, Lord, for all those who have followed their profession of faith up with water baptism. I thank you for those who came, Lord, to be baptized by fire, and for those who wanted a fresh filling this morning. More of you, Lord, means less of us. And it means more for you. That we would do more for you. That we would put out our very best effort. That we would walk in our most holy faith. That we would set aside things of this world and reach for the things of your kingdom. Now, Lord, I ask you to use each one of us this week mightily. Give us boldness. Let the graces of your Spirit be exercised in our life. Let us get out of our comfort zones and move into what should be natural. The world thinks it's supernatural, but for believers, it's just natural. We are above the world, so we don't operate worldly. We operate supernaturally because of the fire, because of the positioning that you have placed us in. Oh, let it show, Lord. Let it show. Let us lay life down and pick up the matters of the Father's business. I ask you, Lord, for protection, for peace, and provision. I release healing on this house and greater works in every life. Dismiss us now in your peace and in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.